Having a laugh. I think one of the other things too, which I've always learned, and I suppose it goes back to recovering from the addiction days also, I had to learn to keep it simple.
Welcome to the Runners Connect Run to the Top podcast, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. So together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now, here's your host, Tina Muir.
Hello, this is Tina Muir. Thank you so much for joining me for the latest episode of the Runners Connect Run to the Top podcast. So last week, we talked to Nancy Clark, author of Nancy Clark's Sports Nutrition Guidebook, which is actually considered by many one of the best nutrition books of all time. For runners, anyway. Nancy shared her best advice with us and actually surprised me with some of the things she said about the mistakes we make. If you missed it, make sure you go back and check that one out. So if you've been listening for a while, you will have heard some of the guests I have had on share their stories about how running saved their lives. And it's incredible that something so simple can literally turn our life around. But in many ways, if you think about it, running actually saves us all. In our day-to-day lives, it gives us that, you know, that moment of peace where our body and mind can just work together in harmony. We can process our thoughts and return from our run with a clear mind, ready to face whatever challenges we have going on. Sometimes we try to give back to running or to the world of running as a thank you for all it has given us. And that's exactly what my guest today does. Running helped him to overcome a long battle with heroin addiction. And since then, he's run many incredible, inspiring journeys, his most recent being across the US in 51 days. That's averaging over 55 miles a day. And he did this to celebrate his 60th birthday. But it was not about the miles or even what it did for him. This trip is about raising money for those in need and for helping people he met along the way. And it was people like you who supported and helped him and met what made his trip the trip of a lifetime. So before I share Perry's entire story, let's hear a word from EnduroPax and we will meet him. Hydrate naturally by adding EnduroPax electrolyte spray to any drink. EnduroPax has zero calories, no sugar, no sweeteners or artificial ingredients. Yep, you heard that right. Just the electrolytes you need. Visit EnduroPax.com and listen out later in the show for a coupon for 10% off. Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast, Perry.
Thank you, Tina. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm looking forward to interviewing you. And let me just say to everyone listening that it's actually, as we're recording this, because of the time difference in New Zealand, is actually 5:30 in the morning. So we got to give Perry some extra kudos here for getting up early to talk to us today. So... I want to, before we go on to kind of your, you know, extraordinary achievements and some of these record-breaking runs you've done, I want to kind of start with your previous running background. Like, what did your life look like before you began these, you know, ultra challenges?
It's interesting when I go back and look at my life. I have to say, look, I'm looking back a few years now because it's I'm actually coming up to 62. At the end of this month. So going back, I always loved sport, and I grew up in a sporty family as such. So I was field hockey in New Zealand, and cricket were my favourite sports. And I actually ended up playing for New Zealand universities in hockey. However, that transition from school into life as a such, and looking back, I was probably one of the shyest kids on the block. You put me in front of a group of people and I'd just freeze. And so I suppose looking back, lack of self-confidence, lack of that self-esteem, lack of and everything. So when I left school, and I actually dropped out of university a couple of times, I started a process of not a good part of my life in a sense, and that meant a trip down the addiction line where I had basically a 16-year battle with heroin addiction. To cut a long story short, I mean, at the end of the day, I was extremely lucky to come out of that. Very lucky to be alive at the end of the day. But I survived that, and I actually started the process of getting myself back into life, and I'm trying to build that self-confidence. And one of the things that really helped that was getting back into sport, and I actually started doing the odd bit of jogging, running. Still back in those days, if someone said, let's go out for a 15K training run for sport, I probably would have laughed and said a few expletives under my breath and quietly walked away. But I started to enjoy running, and I started to enjoy that freedom of being out in the open air, clearing the head. And as time went on, I'll add a few different things into here too, because during that whole process, I managed to meet a lovely lady, and we ended up having a child who's 23 now, and that child is very, very high special needs. He's got a rare chromosome disability, but he's taught us a lot, and he's still at home these days. So it's but the running really helped clear the head. And as I got into my 40s and I ended up with degrees through university and all that sort of stuff, I set a challenge of running a half marathon. I'd always dreamed of running a half marathon, and that was great fun. I survived that half marathon, not a fast time. I was around the 2-hour mark, but I survived it. And, of course, I came off that and I thought, okay, let's set a challenge of running a marathon. And I'd always thought running a marathon was totally impossible. How do those people do it? So over the next 18 months, a friend ran with me and trained with me and helped me through that process. And I set a goal of, okay, let's run a marathon in 4 hours or just under 4 hours. I, again, survived that first marathon, and I actually survived it. I set the goal of running a marathon before I turned 50. And that marathon was only going to be a one-off. I was only going to do one marathon. Right, I've done it. Move on. I can sit back now and relax. But I love that joy of just being out there running. So my first marathon was 4 hours 10, I think it was, and I thought, okay, I can beat that time. So I ran another marathon and another marathon, and after about 25 marathons, I think it was, and I was never a great marathon runner, never a fast one. Our local running club ran a 67K relay, basically, for most people, but the odd person did a solo. And one year I thought, let's have a go at that. Mm-hmm. So I actually did a bit of extra training and ran that, and actually enjoyed that more than the marathons. I actually finished that 67K better than I'd finished any marathon before that. So wow. I thought, great, that was fantastic. So pretty quickly after that, I came off that and I thought, what next, 100K?
Yeah. What year was this, by the way?
It was going back probably about 7 or 8 years.
Okay.
So it's all still pretty recent, to be quite honest. Mm-hmm. So I ran the 100K. Survived that in just under 12 hours. Again, not fast, but, you know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the challenge. And after 100K, the challenge became a 100-miler. And in New Zealand, at that time, there weren't too many 100-milers, but I found one reasonably local. And probably 8 months after I'd done the 100K, I ended up doing the 100-miler and, again, enjoyed that and loved that and survived that, I think, in about 21 hours approximately. But I just love that long distance, being out there running through the night, and it just went from there. And do you want me to carry on?
Yeah, sure, keep sharing.
Basically, from that 100-miler, I did another 200 or 300 milers over the next 2 or 3 years, and I'd followed the odd blog of runners, New Zealand runners and whatnot, and one who'd run the length of New Zealand, which is about a 2,000K run. And I thought, wow, that'd be fantastic to do that. So that was the seed was sown on that, and I'd just come off a 100-miler and one of our beautiful lakes in New Zealand, Lake Taupo, and probably a couple of week after that, Christchurch, which is my old hometown in the South Island, had a major earthquake. I think a couple of hundred people died in that, and the city, parts of the city were devastated. So I thought, how can I raise some money personally for Christchurch, to give back to Christchurch? And I came up with the idea of running from Auckland to Christchurch, which is a distance of just over 1,000K. And so I worked out a plan, run it in 15 days, 70K a day, and I thought, this is going to be a challenge. And I actually survived that in the 15 days, and we managed to raise about 20,000, I think it was, wow. Through the Red Cross for Christchurch. So that actually started another process, my running, where, to me, giving back to the communities and giving back to charities that mean a lot to me. So that, again, the process, another added process was put into my running of challenging runs, in a sense, with giving back to the community, giving back to what I thought was well worthwhile charities. So The next thing that happened when I finished that run in Christchurch, on the way back and getting the body recovered, I started to watch Dean Karnazes' run across America, and that was just a few years ago, that one. Thought, wow, that brilliant run, you know, brilliant. Seeing it, so much country, seeing this and that. So in a sense, the seed was sown on the American run, but initially I thought, okay, what in New Zealand can I do to of a similar nature? And I came up with the idea then of a run technically around both islands of New Zealand, which was just over 5,000K. So I spent some time working out daily averages. And again, I worked on that same Auckland to Christchurch run, 70-odd K a day average, and came up with that run over about 70 days, I think it was.
So what did training kind of look like for that during that time for you?
Training was probably totally different. I'd learnt a lot from the Auckland to Christchurch run, and that back-to-back-to-back heavy, you know, bigger mileage anyway. And so I was definitely back-to-back runs in the weekend, where maybe a 40K on the Saturday and a 20 to 30K on the Sunday. During the week, I was still only managing to do one run a day because I was working full-time at the same time. And so it was difficult.
So was it most of your mileage was on those weekends, and then the rest of the week was just, you know, a normal, you know, 10K to 15K run?
10K, 15K, okay. If I was lucky. Yep. Okay. So I was squeezing the runs, and maybe early in the morning again. I got used to getting up at this time of the day. So it became a running time, because, again, in the evenings, when I got home from work, was a main point dinner time, and with the young man still at home, he needed to be helped with a lot of things, you know, eating and getting ready for bed and all that sort of stuff. So it's, it was trying to balance the family life around the running life, around everything, and probably I made mistakes at times, but I mean, it was work in progress. So, but the one thing I did learn from the Auckland to Christchurch run over 15 days, it actually took me 12 days for the body to get used to that day after day after day higher mileage. So going into that New Zealand run, and the New Zealand run I was running for the New Zealand Mental Health Foundation, trying to give back and putting the message out there, the positive effect that any form of exercise has on people's mental wellness. So to me, that was extremely important. It's something I learned in after my battle with the addiction side, and getting, in a sense, getting back into life, was how much better I felt after I'd been out exercising. So that was a major effect for me, and that was a major push for me on that run. I actually found that it took me about 10 days on that run for the body to adjust.
So when you say that, you mean that, you know, in these runs, you know, you maybe go on when we talk in a bit about this, you know, the run you're about to share about. But when you say about 10 days, about 12 days, you mean that those first 10 to 12 days are essentially in some ways harder on the body than further along because you get used to it?
Yes, most definitely. The body needed to adjust. And I remember sort of the first day or two, first 1 to 2 days, seemed okay. Then I'd get into the third, fourth, fifth day as such, and I'd be struggling to eat.
Not hungry?
I couldn't keep food down in a sense, so I couldn't eat much at all. So by about the 10th day, the body would be screaming back to me saying, basically, if you're going to do this to me, at least put food into food in. So I was able to eat. The body was adjusting and there was nothing to eat. Depending on where we were at in the country, if there was only one shop and there was only a hot pie available, it became no problem to eat a hot pie and just carry on.
What was preferable for you?
That wasn't preferable.
What would you like if you could, if you did go through a town that had everything, what was your favourite thing to?
To be quite honest, I got so used to hash browns from McDonald's or a chocolate milkshake.
Chocolate milkshake, that is, wow. I would not have seen that coming, but if it works.
I love the chocolate milkshakes, and they actually gave me a sense of being filled. The stomach loved it, and to be quite honest, going on later, I'll just throw this in. On the American trip, I don't know how many chocolate milkshakes I had through that run. And, I mean, chocolate milk too. Chocolate milk was, whenever available, it was great.
Yeah, we've actually found a lot of research with that. I will put links in the show notes to actually an article about chocolate milk and how it is actually one of the perfect runner foods. So anyway, I want to have you keep going with your story about, you know, following Dean and seeing his journey and what happened next.
So I set off on that run around New Zealand. And again, that was, to me, was a successful journey. It's 70 days from start to finish. The last 24 hours, I actually covered 150K from Wellington back up to my hometown where I started. And I set the plan. I said, okay, start off from Wellington 9 o'clock on one morning, and I was going to finish at 9:30 the next morning. And it actually worked out. And that to me showed how much the body had adjusted, how much, I suppose, how much fitter and able I was to be able to do those long distance runs. So basically from there, finished, recovered, and I started the process of a few other longer runs at that point. And within 2.5 months after finishing, we used to have a 100-mile run around our Lake Taupo, where another relay as such, where people take a 155K relay up, 10 to 18 members in a team. I decided to go back there and do a double around the lake. Which has worked out to about 310K, just under the 200-mile mark, something no one had ever done. And I set the goal of doing it in under 48 hours, and it's a pretty hilly-type course going around the lake. It's not flat. It's ups and downs and ups and downs. So, again, that was a challenge, and it's a challenge I actually survived too. I ended up doing that run, and I think it was 46 hours and so many minutes, I can't remember exactly what it was. But so came off that. That was great. The seed was sown on the American run, and I was thinking, okay, in 2 years' time I'm going to be 60, so what a great time to celebrate my 60th running across America. So at that point, actually, in the January of that year, 3.5 years ago, I'd seen on the friends were thrown around on the Facebook page about the moon joggers, and I thought, what a great concept.
So what is moon joggers for people who don't know what that is?
Moon joggers was set up by two sisters, Angie Webb and her sister, in the States. And technically it was a challenge to start with for both of them. They challenged each other to run 1,000 miles in a year. So they opened it up to family and friends, and it just built from there. And at the end, I think Angie mentioned she was she looked up the moon one night and saw this beautiful, full moon, and thought, wouldn't it be great to have as many people as possible to virtually, mm-hmm. Everyone logging their miles to virtually run to the moon and back. So hence the name Moon Joggers came from that. Oh, okay. And it's and since joining, it's I've met people from right around the world virtually. Mm-hmm. I've actually managed to meet some face to face now, which is fantastic. Oh, but a good group of people and runners of all sorts is but people having fun and people just giving great friendly advice and support to each other.
And that's, you can still join now, like anyone listening?
Anyone can join now, yes. It's okay. And just look up Moon Joggers. It's,
Okay.
It's easy to join. After a while of talking to Angie, we started to go through the process of, I mentioned my dream of running across the States, and she said, okay, after a while, after more chats, she said, let's try and make it happen. So the next process was trying to start the money, raise the money, the funds to be able to do it. So I had two processes, raise the money plus also get the training right up to where it needed to be. And so my training actually, in a sense, changed. My weekend runs were technically stayed much the same, mm-hmm. Because I had time. Saturday morning long run, Sunday morning longish run again.
Did they increase the distance?
They increased at times, but also would throw in every now and again a long run. But I'll come to that. The week runs changed in a sense where I'd be out 5:30, called to 6 in the morning for say 12-13K run, and always classified that as my recovery run in a sense. Now, the process, I'd be home in time to give breakfast to the young man, get him up and showered and all that, and dropped off to where he was going for the day. In those days, it was school. It's in New Zealand with high special needs, they can attend schooling till they're 21. So as soon as he was dropped off, I'd head back and then head out for another two-hour run.
Wow.
So I was only having sort of a gap of an hour, hour and a half, probably between two runs. And what that was teaching my body was teaching the body to recover quick. So technically I was running 20 mile a day easy, maybe more at times during the week with a gap in between. Yeah, it was 150 to 200 mile a week at times.
Wow. And training. What kind of speed were you running these at, just out of curiosity?
It varied at times. Some were slow and easy and plenty of breaks. I'd always try and throw in a faster bit every now and again to keep the body guessing, I suppose, and for the body not to, fast for me would be maybe 4 minutes, 30K pace, okay. A faster pace. So it was teaching the body to recover quick. It was keeping the body guessing, I suppose, on what am I going to throw at next. Okay, I'm not just sort of getting into that slow plot, I suppose. So that was working really well. And in that first year, also it was about 6 weeks to 8 weeks after I'd finished my twice around Lake Taupo, I set a challenge of running around our local car racing track, which is a 3K, the major track's a 3K loop and with a 1.5K extension, which I'd run through the daytime. I set a challenge of running 300 mile in 72 hours, technically without sleep. So I thought of a charity I could run that for, and I came up with the special needs unit at the high school where my boy was attending. So it was interesting running that 300 mile. I reached 302 mile actually in the 72 mm-hmm. hours, and without sleep. It wasn't actually too bad at the end. I actually managed to do that last lap of 3K, and I think it was about 15 minutes, so 5-minute K pace. And I thought, well, that was, I don't know where that came from, but what I'd do is, I'd have breaks every now and again throughout the time, but even if I sort of sat in a chair, I'd make sure someone was watching so I didn't go to sleep. But sometimes just that 10-minute break gave the body a chance to recover. So,
do you think it's also gives the mind a chance to recover? Like you get to kind of reset?
A bit of both, I think. A bit of both. It was interesting. The body can actually, I know it's been said many a time, but the body can go further than the mind thinks it can. And I've learned that. It definitely can. It's the power of the mind. I actually did another run around that same circuit 6 months later. And that time, with the American run set to happen, I thought, okay, I'll promote the American run. And that time I decided to do it with power naps, 20-minute power naps. So over the 72 hours, I did about 311 miles, I think it was, and managed it with only about six 20-minute power naps. And the beauty of those 20-minute power naps was the body or the mind wasn't going into a deep sleep. So it was easier to, okay, 20 minutes, someone would give me a yell and I'll be back up and recovered fairly quickly and back out there. Whereas if I had 1 hour, 2 hour sleep, deep sleep, trying to wake up out of a deep sleep, I would have struggled for a wee while to keep going. So it's, again, another learned process was through that, how the body can recover, how the power of the mind. And I think while I'm thinking of points, I'm going to bring them up. One of the things I learned going into these long runs was expect the unexpected. Anything can happen. And if I wasn't expecting the unexpected, when it happened, it could throw me.
So what kind of things were you talking about here? Like, what did you...
It could be anything. Could be just a matter of a sore knee or something like that. It could be a matter of simple things, I suppose. lighting not working or something just going wrong. It's hard to... Anything. Put it this way, anything.
Okay.
But by expecting the unexpected, if anything happened, the mind would be saying, okay, it's just something that's happened. Let's work through this. It's not going to stop. It's not going to halt what I'm doing. It's just one of those moments. Or I suppose it's the old story. You're running along and your body, the mind's yelling at you, you know, your body's had enough. You can stop and walk and you look at the next lamppost. Right, I'll just make it to that lamppost. Then I'll make it to the next lamppost. Then I'll make it to two lampposts. And after a wee while, you're just back into the running mode again. You say, what was that about? You know, it's just one of those moments. So expecting anything like that can happen. I suppose in the first week of a long 50-day, 70-day back-to-back runs, I was expecting the body to go through an adjusting period. I was expecting maybe struggling to eat for a couple of days, maybe the weight to be falling off in that first week, whatever weight there was to fall off. So they were all expected things. So it wasn't a biggie when they were happening. It was just something, okay, I've just got to work through this. It's, and I'll come out the other side. It's, it won't be a problem.
So can I just ask for a second there, as you did mention about unexpected things. So you said about, you know, a sore knee or something. So during any of these kind of journeys and stuff, you've said, you know, you may have a sore knee. How did you kind of know the difference between, okay, I've got a sore, my knee kind of hurts a little bit. It hurts to run, but I'm going to be able to keep going. You know, this isn't something, like you said, that's going to stop me from what I'm doing. So how did you know that it was that kind of pain rather than a pain where it's like, okay, like something is really wrong here. I'm going to do myself long-term damage. Or did you have that thought and just kind of like ignoring it and pushing it out?
No, I think over time I've learned to be able to read the body pretty well. Most niggles, and with the high mileage I constantly do, the body's going to have niggles every now and again. So I've learned to read it, right, that's a niggle, I just need to slow down for a while. Or maybe for a day or two, do a run-walk type system just to let that recover a bit. But the only thing that's actually stopped me from running, and that was about 8 years ago for a week, was an IT band issue. And boy, that was painful. But being pretty stubborn, I tried to run through it. and kept on trying to run through it, even though everyone was saying, take a week off or take a couple of weeks off and get it sorted. I eventually took a week off, did a lot of stretches and whatnot. And what happened in that week? I recovered. So I had to eat a little bit of humble pie on that one. But an example, I suppose, of another type of soreness injury was I remember running the early stages of running across the States and going through Pennsylvania, and the rolling country there was it was just up, down, up, down, up, down. And I got to the stage where my quads, excuse the French, but were absolutely trashed. They were incredible. I couldn't actually lift my foot up to the back of my behind, I suppose. So I couldn't bend the knee because they were so trashed. What I actually did was I had just a cheap knee cover. What I did, I actually rolled it up and put it over my calf muscle. So in a sense, I tricked my mind to thinking, okay, my calf muscle's playing up and I was doing stretches on that. And I forgot totally about the quads. And within about 4 or 5 days, they were back to normal. So it was just one of those, trick the mind. I knew it wasn't a biggie. It was just the quads from the ups and downs that were pretty sore. And carried on from there. It was an interesting process of doing something different to trick the mind into concentrating on something else.
What other, little mental tricks like that where you trick the mind did you kind of use during any of your kind of challenges? Well, actually, I guess before I ask you about that, which I want to ask in a minute, could you just tell us, I'll just tell everyone listening that, so you did this run from New York to Los Angeles, 3,100 miles. We'll talk about how long it took you and how many.
It was actually just under 3,000, the route I took.
Okay.
The length of time was 51 days, 19 hours and 40 minutes to be exact. But yeah, it was, the dream had come true when we raised the money and I set it up and arrived in New York. It was technically the first time I've been in the States. I had a layover in LA once, but just for a few hours changing planes on the way to the UK years back.
Yeah, a bit different.
And it was totally different. But I'd set myself 3 days recovery from a 30-odd hour traveling from New Zealand to New York. And 5 o'clock on the 1st of September, and 2 years ago, I was actually on about day four, I think. It was. Mm-hmm. So I set off from City Hall in New York at 5 in the morning.
Okay. And
on a journey of a lifetime.
Yeah. And so it was 13 states, if I have that correct.
Yes.
In the time that you did it, the 51 days, 19 hours, 40 minutes, that's averaging about 55 miles a day, about 15.
About 55.
Okay. Mm-hmm. About 15 hours a day of running. So, yeah, we were going to talk about some mental little tips and tricks that you had for kind of tricking the mind that you talked about, during the run, like when, obviously during a run like that, you're going to have moments where you maybe say, I can't do this or I don't want to do this. Like what other little tips and tricks did you use for yourself?
It was interesting because most of the time, during the daytime anyway, I'd send the support vehicle forward for approximately 4 or 5 miles. Now, there definitely were times when I'd get to that support vehicle, I would jump in the vehicle, I'd sit there having my chocolate milkshake or snacks or whatever. And there were times when I just did not feel like getting out of that vehicle. I've had enough. I don't want to do this anymore on that day anyway at that point in time. So there were times when I just had to jump straight back out of the vehicle and tell the driver, Angie was the main support person on the whole trip, and see you in 5 miles, disappear quick. And at that process, the only choice I had was I had to get that extra 4 or 5 miles to get to that vehicle. So And after the first mile, it was, this is great. What was I moaning about in that vehicle?
So it's more when you weren't running than when you actually were.
Exactly. Sometimes when I sat down, it was, I find it hard sometimes to sit down for too much, for too long. And I don't think I did rest for too long throughout. I'd have lots of breaks throughout the day, but they were short breaks. Okay. It was 4 mile, 5 mile. I mean, in the early hours of the morning, the vehicle was behind me the whole time, and that was a safety thing. And interesting, I mean, coming from New Zealand where we don't have snakes or anything like that, I always had a fear of snakes on the road. Or I mean, I did laugh about it a few times, but and I caught a bit of grief and good fun from a lot of people about it. But, I mean, I had to laugh. It was good fun.
Yeah. And did you have someone with a map? Was it like you kind of, how did you pick the route, or was this the general, car kind of telling you?
We had a general idea of where we were going the whole time. But Angie would be on the laptop, you know, when she was waiting for me to turn up, checking the route, rechanging a route. And if we're going through a town, and sometimes going through bigger towns would actually slow me down. Looking back, it probably would have been easier to have gone around towns, even though longer, it would have actually ended up quicker because of the zigzagging. I'd have to go, end up doing through towns. So, but sometimes going through towns, Angie would have a piece of paper written out, right, turn right here, turn left there, turn right at
this. Oh, wow.
And I'd have a cell phone on me too, so we'd have contact whenever necessary. You know, help, I'm on such and such a spot. Which way do I go from here? But it's, on the open road, it was no problem. Most of the roads were long and straight and, okay, we'll see you in 5 miles, see you in 10 mile. Just worked well. And
what about?
And I can't say enough. I mean, Angie and her family, I called them Team Webb. Yeah, no, they were brilliant on support.
Okay, great. And I bet that made a huge difference. And did Angie or yourself kind of have a goal place to reach each day, or was it just kind of let's see where we end up?
We sort of had goal places to reach. From the way we worked it out at the beginning, initially I'd set the goal of 50. Doing it under 52 days, then we semi-changed it to, okay, let's just see if we can, you know, the 46 days. So we had to chop and change a little bit as we went. We were lucky there wasn't too much travelling to places to stay. I suppose New Mexico way at times, yeah, there was a bit of travelling due to the open expanse of the country. But, a bit of chopping and changing as we went. But okay. It worked well. It worked well. And Angie had it worked out easy the whole time. Mm-hmm. I think going back, one of the biggest factors I had initially going into the run, I set the run to start on the 1st of September, which I was coming straight from winter in New Zealand. And I thought, okay, I'd be going, in a sense, straight into autumn or fall in the States. But jumping from probably between 30 and 40 degree temperatures in New Zealand, you know, we don't get cold where I am anyway, but to 90 plus temperatures was going to have an effect, and one I didn't take into play initially too much. But boy, did it slowed me down a bit to start with. Mm-hmm. But another trick I had during that process was with the cap. I put ice in the cap.
Oh, yeah.
Melted within 1 to 2 miles or 2 miles, but it actually managed to keep the body cool during cooler.
That's a helpful tip. Very, very helpful, and a lot of people can use that. I saw on some videos of you that Angie did while she was videoing you along the way, that you had like sponsors helping you each day, sponsoring each day you completed. What did those sponsors kind of do, or what did that involve?
Well, whilst we're trying to raise the money, I think Angie came up with the idea. We put it out to people to sponsor half a day or sponsor a day, $50, half a day, $100.
Okay.
For a full day. So people just came on board. Mm-hmm. I was amazed. It was just just huge. And we filled those days relatively quickly. So I was, each morning I'd do a shout out wherever possible to the sponsors of the day. And there was the odd firm, and there's odd runner friends, and just people I didn't know. So people, yeah, I do a huge shout out to them at the beginning of the day. Yeah. And throughout that whole run, and whilst we're on that subject, I mean, and I almost probably became a broken record, but it's a broken record I enjoyed doing every day. It was the awesomeness of people. People just coming out and support, the support I got, the people turning up on the side of the road, people turning up at 3 a.m, 4 a.m. to run a few miles, and, you know, just dropping off drinks or shirts or money even to help with costs. It was, I was amazed. And again, I think one of the things I said, if people ever had trouble with humanity, all they needed to do was spend 2 or 3 days on the road with me, and their minds would have been totally changed. I mean, people were just awesome. Yeah, the goodness in the world. We see so much bad in the world, and it's broadcast the whole time. And some things like that need to be broadcast. There is so much good out there.
So did you know that about the running community before this event? About, you know, just how good?
I always knew the running community was close, and the running community was brilliant, and especially the Auckland to Christchurch run I did, where, you know, 20,000. It was people just offering their places to stay, but, you know, yeah. I mean, I've always known that about the running community. It's, and it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, whatever. It's everyone's the same. We're just out having fun. We're enjoying it. We're enjoying, whether it's on trails, on road. I mean, I must admit I prefer roads myself, but it doesn't matter where I'm running. It's a fresh air.
Yeah.
Just that clarity, the mental clarity you can get, and the having a good laugh with people and not worrying about anything.
Yeah, no, that's great. And, you know, many people listening are exactly those kind of people that, you know, Perry is talking about. I know a lot of you guys are the kind of people that would, you know, offer out your home as a host for someone like Perry doing something like this, or you would be the kind of person who would drop off that stuff. So a thank you to you guys out listening out there, because I know you guys do that kind of stuff. So hopefully you'll give yourself a pat on the back. And if anyone listening who was one of Perry's, you know, supporters, then a special thank you to you. So I want to ask you just about some of the obviously ups and downs of this this long trip. So firstly, what was your favorite part of the journey? Was there a favorite state or a favorite moment during this run?
Actually, I've been asked those questions in a sense before, and the main answer I could always give, and it still stands today, was especially, what is your favourite state? They were all favourites. They were all unique in themselves. They were all different. So I enjoyed each and every one of them. They were so different. It was, yeah, there were similarities all the way across, of course, but again, just seeing that expanse of the country was amazing, and again, I loved every bit of that journey. Of course, there were some ups and downs. I mean, that's part and parcel of doing anything like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, they go into insignificance in a sense. It was just the joy of out there running, the joy of meeting so many people, and awesome people too. Yeah,
was there
in a sense? I don't think there was a down of it. I suppose the only down, if I can look back on it, was that it finished.
Well, yeah, that's one way of looking at it. And I'm going to ask you in a few minutes about future attempts. I'm a little bit scared to see what you're going to come up with here after this. But were there any moments then, maybe if I were this a little bit different, were there any moments during it that you thought, like, that really stick in your mind of, like, wow, I am actually doing this? Like, maybe it was before you left in New York, but, you know, you'd kind of thought about this for years, and were there any moments in particular, and you know, came up on the horizon and you thought, whoa, like, this is actually happening?
I think right from the start, one of the main points was as soon as I had my flight tickets in my hand.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, this is happening now. This is actually going to happen.
Yeah.
And the next point, I suppose, was actually arriving in New York, JFK. I mean, I'm here. Wow.
Yep. And you sure made the most of it. And then during those struggles, during those moments where, you know, you were having a hard time, you didn't want to get out of the car, you know, how you said about keeping it fun, you know, that's very important for you to keep it fun. And, you know, people from New Zealand, my aunt lives in New Zealand, has done for, I think, I don't know, 30, 40 years. And you kind of match with this very like chill, kind of like go with the flow, and you know, you want to have fun and just enjoy your life. But how did you keep it fun when it kind of got monotonous all those hours on end? You know, were there any specific tactics you used to kind of like find fun in those monotonous moments?
There were, and I think probably you might have seen the odd video we managed to take going across where we decided, let's do something silly. I remember the van coming up behind me, and I think I was going through New Mexico, and I was like, okay, I'll stop and walk. And they came out, I didn't realize they had the camera going, and I just yelled out across, which way to LA? That way, okay. See you later, thank you. Or at a motel once, I mean, I was up ready to go, and one of the support person, Angie's brother Chris, said, I just want to film you getting out of bed. So I jumped in bed. I had my high vis and running shoes on and everything. And he set the alarm on his radio and he filmed me. The alarm went off. I jumped up, stretched, and I ran out the door. Well, I was doing silly walks, I suppose. I'm going down the road at times. It was breaking the monotony. It was breaking it up and having a laugh. I think one of the other things, too, which I've always learned, and I suppose it goes back to recovering from the addiction days also, I had to learn to keep it simple, keep life simple. I mean, and it's probably a human failing at times. We all try and find the hard answer to things, whereas the answer is staring us in the face. So it's keeping it simple, And, I mean, to me, it's running across America. It was as simple as one foot in front of the other. That's all I had to do. So when times are tough, when the mind was saying, you've had enough, you can't do any more, I can lift that one foot in front of the other. I can still do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still going forward. So it's, keeping it simple, I think, is one of the best mottos in life. It's, and I suppose in a sense I've learned to be not simplistic in a sense, but in the way I look at life, I don't need that much. Give me a pair of running shoes and shorts, and I can smile and I can hit the road.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it's as simple as that at times.
Yeah, no, that's very true. And just something that kind of came to my mind while you were saying that right there about, you know, just give you a pair of running shoes and you'll be happy. Just out of curiosity, how many people, or if any, but I'm guessing there were some, yelled something related to Forrest Gump to you during your run? Do you have any kind of idea?
It was a name that came up quite a lot.
Yeah, I was thinking so.
The times. Or the real life Forrest Gump, or yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yeah.
It's been used. I remember once running around New Zealand, I was going through a remote part of New Zealand, coming into a town, and the radio station rang me up, and I could hear him announcing it, New Zealand's own Forrest Gump.
Well, I guess
I mean, I'd have a laugh.
I wouldn't say that's an insult by any means. So
no.
Just to kind of sum up here, what is it about these challenges of, you know, back-to-back-to-back-to-back runs, or, you know, such these long distances day after day that you just love so much?
It's a challenge of how far the body can go in one sense. It's the beauty of meeting different people. It's the beauty of seeing different countryside. I mean, you can drive down the road and you miss half of it. You run down the road and you can take time to look at it. And the chance to run with different people, you know, people coming out and spending 5K, 5 mile, 10 mile with you. It's, I think that's one beauty. Actually, I'll just mention, going back to the States one, I mean, the amount of people that traveled miles to spend time on the road with me just blew me away. One chap actually got picked up work on the Friday night, drove through the night, met me at 7 the next morning after driving all night, ran all day with me. Then we had, about 3 hours sleep and spent the first 2 hours of the morning, then drove that 10 hours back to where he was from. You know, things like that was incredible.
Mm-hmm.
But sorry, I'm jumping all over the place. Where were we again?
No, I was just saying about, you know, what is it about the challenge?
I love a challenge. And again, it's just that mental clarity I get of being out there. I can solve all the world's problems in one day. I'll start again the next day, of course, because or you can go through that process of not thinking.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, just zoning out or you can chat with people and you can meet different people. You can, you know, it's just everyone being on the same level.
Yeah.
And that to me is so important. It was so nice.
No, I love that. And so, so true. Running is one of those things that, you know, we can all be out there together going through the same struggles, the same path. The same route, but we could all be experiencing different journeys. So, really is amazing and great to hear you say just how important the community and the people you met were to this journey. You know, just kind of reminds me actually a lot of another interview I had in the past with David Alley. And I will put a link in the show notes for all of the things Perry and I have talked about at runnersconnect.net/RC128. But yeah, David took, he did a run all the way around the edge of Australia, and very similar to you, kind of mentioned the community and how important it was having people, the people you met, the stories you heard, just kind of brought about the wonderful nature of the, you know, running community. And it is just great to hear. And then one thing, just one more thing I want to ask you before we hear from our sponsors is you, towards the end of the video I watched on you and this journey, which I'll put a link in the show notes, you talked about, you were asked about an 11-year-old boy who was doing a project on you, and you were asked what your best advice to him was, and you said to have fun. So I just wanted to ask you why having fun, I mean, it seems pretty obvious, but it's maybe not, sometimes we, you know, forget about this, but why is it so important to make running fun?
Life's got to be fun. So, I mean, sometimes life can be hard. You know, the ups and downs of life, we've got to accept its ups and downs. So if you can get out there and run or exercise and make it fun, you're going to keep on doing it. It's the old story, if you go out and do something that's going to feel hard, feel this, feel that, it's going to be a bigger challenge the next day to go out and do it, or the next day and go out and do it. So to me, having fun, enjoying it, especially in the initial stages, will get you back out there doing it more and more. So as time goes on, we expect the aches and pains or the soreness after a long run to happen. That's an expected part of it. But again, down the track, I think I certainly treat that as fun as well, because that's part and parcel of it. But the early stages, yeah, have fun, enjoy it. Enjoy being out with friends, enjoy everyone being on the same level again. Fun.
No, I love that. And thank you so much for sharing that. That really, you know, brings it all home. All right, we are just going to take a minute to thank our sponsors, and then we will be right back with the final kick.
For years, we were told we needed to be hydrated, drinking gallons of water before we ran. And not only did that mean needing to pee every 2 minutes, but it was incredibly dangerous for our health, as runners suffered from hyponatremia. Instep, the sugary, bright-coloured syrups to save the day, right? Well, wrong, actually. Not only were they pumping us full of unnecessary sugar and calories we didn't want or need, but they are full of artificial ingredients. Blech. I've been using EnduroPax for years now, and I can honestly say this is the perfect solution to this problem. Just spray EnduroPax electrolytes into any drink and be on your way. It's flavorless, other than a slight lemony taste, of course. It has zero calories, no sugar, no artificial ingredients, and will replenish your electrolytes in a matter of seconds. I love EnduroPax spray so much that during my marathons, I carry a bottle in my shorts and spray it directly into my mouth during the race. Visit EnduroPax.com for more information and use coupon code TinaMuir for 10% off.
Okay, so Perry, I just have 5 more questions for you, just little ones, nothing, you know, too elaborate, just simple things here. What is the greatest advice you've ever received?
It's something I've thought hard. Yeah. I'm sure somewhere along the track, someone said you've got to enjoy and have fun doing it. So maybe that's one reason it stuck in my mind. Yeah. I remember before I did my first ultra, someone, and he was one of New Zealand's greatest, greater ones at the time. He was set in that semi-retirement from doing 100 milers and whatnot, at late 60s, I think he was. But he told me, he said, walk the hills.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you're not going to gain anything by running them. In a sense, you're going to probably lose energy more so walk the hills. So I took that on board right from the start. I actually run a lot more of the hills these days. I did initially, but that first 100 miler I did, I walked every hill, and I survived longer into that 100 miler than I probably would have if I tried to run them.
Yeah, very important
but,
advice.
I mean, over the years, I've always listened to other people, and nothing actually stands out too much, but I've listened to other people, taken on board what other people have said about their running journey, and I've trialled different things. I've taken bits out of each bit and maybe put it into a package that suits me.
That's good.
And I think it's that trial and error that works for people. You know, it's, so many people have so many great ideas, but you've got to pick what works for you.
Yep.
And a bit of what one person says, a bit of the other, a bit of the other, will at the end of the day work for you. So I think, that's probably where I stand on that one. It's hard to think of the greatest advice.
That's great. And lots of helpful little snippets of advice, just like the bit you just mentioned, which is, you know, you got to find your own path. So you found your own piece of advice. All right. Favorite running book or blog?
Interesting. Before the American Run, I think my favorite book was Marshall Ulrich's book and his run across, I can't remember the name of it actually, but his run across America.
Okay, I'll find that.
Dean Karnace's blog when he was running across the States, that definitely stands out. And I mean, there's so many different blogs, and whenever I find someone doing a big run, I tend to try and find their blog and follow it from day to day. And I love following people's journeys. Tony Magnan, the Irishman who ran around the world 3 or 4 years ago, I can't remember. He's actually doing a world walk at the moment now.
Okay.
So I'm following his blog, and I followed his blog when he ran around the world, and he actually spent 3 days with me.
Okay.
I'd transport him around to where he's finished and where he's starting. So it was great fun talking to him.
Yeah. Good. Oh, lots of inspirational people when it comes to this kind of stuff. All right, what would you like to tell a new runner if you could give them one piece of advice? What would it be?
Have fun.
There you go. Yep. I guess we've already asked you that one, so
yes.
I shouldn't have even asked you that one. All right.
And the one other thing I think I'd need to add to that is probably, and one thing I learned, you need relatively good shoes, running shoes.
Yes, very important.
I remember years back when I was getting back into the running, I bought the cheapest pair of shoes possible and wondering why my legs and knees and everything were getting sore.
No, that definitely makes sense, and it's very important. So, you know, that's a practical bit of advice and an emotional piece of advice. So very helpful. All right, what would a pre-race or pre-run meal be for you if you could have anything other than your McDonald's milkshake?
It was interesting. If I use the American Run as an example, we'll leave out the McDonald's part. But wherever we're staying, whatever breakfast was available, it might be just the likes of cornies or something like that. Whatever was available, what I tried to do was I tried to have a huge meal every night.
Okay.
To be quite honest, I was going back for seconds most times.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised.
But throughout the day, it was basically what we could get.
Yeah.
I know with a couple of, if I'm at home leading up to, say, 100 miler, I might try and have baked potatoes, 4 or 5 of them each night for 4 or 5 nights, you know, just to build up.
Yep, good idea.
On that sense. But I tend not to change my eating habits too much. I eat reasonably well, but I tend to pick a lot throughout the daytime, I suppose, with the amount of running.
Yeah, I think you would need to.
I'm doing. Okay. You know, so an hour after I've snacked, I'm hungry again.
I'm not surprised with the amount of running you've been doing. So you're allowed everything you can get, I think. all right, and finally, what is your favorite running product? Is there a product you used while you were out
there? There's not a major product that I thought hard and long about that one. I mean, having good shoes is definitely a major to me, and that's a necessity.
What is your favorite pair of shoes that you wear?
Cross America is ASICS. Okay. I've actually chopped and changed a bit, and with shoes, my biggest moan, if I can have that, is when they make subtle changes to a pair of shoes, it can throw you off, actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
It's at this point, I'm wearing New Balance 1080s.
Okay.
And for the longer runs, I actually change into Hokas halfway through.
Okay.
And they're a more cushion shoe, so yep. And with Hokas, they're a good recovery shoe, so yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, all the equipment, good lighting at night time, the high vis is definitely a necessity at night time. I mean, they're all important parts of running.
Yeah.
You know, it's about safety.
Yeah. No, very true. And thank you for summing up there. All right. Just one more question for you. What's next?
I've got lots of goals. I mean, there's a couple of runs. I want to have got the length of New Zealand record, which is about 18 days and 8 hours. And it stood since the 1980s. So it's about 2,000K or just under 2,000K. So it would mean averaging 110, 115K a day.
Wow.
Doable over 18 days, definitely. So that's one goal. Another goal I've been dreaming up is back in the States, of course. doing just over twice what I did last time.
Wow. Okay.
Start, finish LA, up to San Fran. And I still think with the right preparation, it's doable in 45 to 46 days for myself anyway.
Wow.
So San Fran to New York, down to Jacksonville, then zigzagging through Dallas, Phoenix, San Diego, back up to LA, and looking at around the 100-day mark for the whole lot.
Amazing. Okay, well, we will be supporting you in that journey, and I would encourage everyone to check out Moon Joggers, which again I will put a link in the show notes at runnersconnect.net/RC128, so you can follow Perry on his journey, this forward journey, and what he's been doing in the past, as well as all the other Moon Joggers. So Perry, thank you so much for your time today. It's been wonderful chatting to you, and I wish you all the luck in the rest of your running path, how it unfolds.
Thank you so much, Tina, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been a pleasure talking to you, and you know, I just enjoy talking about running. It's a passion of mine, and I enjoy every minute of it.
That's
so
great.
Yeah,
that's
it's great.
Everyone listening is right there with you, so thank you very much.
What a guy. I just love his attitude to life. You can just hear in his voice how much he appreciates each and every day. He takes those setbacks in a stride. No pun intended there. And he just finds joy in every single day. And what about that next journey he's planning? It just blows my mind. But maybe you can be one of those people he meets along the way. He's definitely going to need a lot of EnduroPax electrolytes for that one. It's that time of year again. Last year, I asked for your help to improve the podcast, and many of you filled out a survey about the Run to the Top podcast. This year, I have made it new and improved, and I have some new questions about, I'm thinking about doing 2 to 4 extra episodes a week where you would leave me a voicemail with your running questions, and each week, one of the Runners Connect coaches will answer them. So if you enjoy this podcast, I'd really appreciate if you could take a few minutes to fill out the survey. Even if you don't want to answer all of the questions, you can just fill out the ones you like. Oh, and those mini episodes I talk about, don't worry, they won't be another hour long each. They're just going to be, you know, a short one. You can find the survey on the show notes or at runnersconnect.net/listen. So last year I did listen to your feedback and I made the changes based on your recommendations, and I had many of the guests you requested in the survey on the show in the past year, and Perry was actually one of those. This year I plan to listen even more and I hope you will tell me what you think. So next week we're going to be talking to Ethan Newbury, who probably most of you know as Ginger Runner. He's become a bit of an internet phenomenon, and you will love his honesty about how he turned being bullied because of the colour of his hair from a weakness into a strength. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you have a great week.